Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike, and I am once more in studio live with my wife, Linda. We're looking forward to what the Lord has for us as we continue this somewhat controversial topic as we've been looking at marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now, I hope marriage isn't the controversial part, though in some ways it is today. But we're talking about what are biblical grounds for divorce. What are biblical grounds for remarriage? And in the process of sorting all this out, we cannot help but to address the topic of abuse. Because as we've spoken earlier this week, is that the three A's that, you know, common cause of divorce among Christians, those three A's, adultery, abuse, and abandonment. And so I think we've covered quite thoroughly adultery and abandonment, but abuse is a very complicated topic with a lot of, it takes some navigation through the rocks and the water, because really there are some things that people call abuse that may not be what other people label as abuse. There is a standard that people call it control, of one party controlling someone who's weaker than them. Definitely that's a form of abuse. But then it comes down to, we've got to discuss, when is abuse severe enough that it warrants divorce? Because there's times I think one of the marriage partners just have to stand up and say, look, you're not going to talk to me like that, or you will never raise your hand to me like that, or I will leave, or, you know, don't play those mind games with me. I will not put up with it. There's times where I believe as human beings, we need to grow. As Christians, we grow spiritually, and along the path, we realize, you know what? I don't deserve this, and you have no right to talk to me like that. You have no right to physically abuse me like that. You have no right to fill in the blank, okay? So we're going to continue. I don't know how much further we can go with this abuse topic. As I was reviewing some of the things we talked about yesterday, I realized some of it could be misconstrued. I know Linda was talking a little bit about sometimes a woman could make a man the way he is, but what she's talking about is dependent. A man could become dependent upon his wife to the point where he expects her to do everything for him rather than you could never blame the abused for the abuser's actions. Okay, I think what she was talking about back then is just, you know, don't train your man or train your woman to be a whiner or to be a taker, and never giver. Those are all things we've covered. But we're going to go a little bit further today. But before we do, I'm doing all the talking right now. I'm going to ask Linda to tell you how you might be able to participate with us. There's several ways. So Linda will tell you that.
Hi, everybody. We would love to hear from you today. So why don't you go ahead, give us a call. Take that step. Take the plunge. Talk on the radio with us. If you do not want to be known, you want to be anonymous, give us a different name. We don't care. And I want you to know, if you have a question, it means there's probably somebody else out there that has that same question. So when we're answering, we're not just answering you. We're answering everybody that's listening.
That's right.
And watching on Facebook, going to be watching or listening to it later. This can keep going, like ripples go out. So your question is not going to be a stupid one, okay? It's going to be a good one. And we're still waiting. If somebody has a story they want to share about abuse, about being delivered from, you know, abuse, meaning that the Lord healed that marriage, or maybe if you have a story where you had to get out, your life was at risk. If you have questions, you're going through something right now and you're wondering, is this abuse or not? Give us a call. We'll help you walk through that and see how, you know, see how it goes. So the number here, be brave, call 208-377 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. Not sure how much I'm going to catch the text today. So if you're on the radio, we really want you to call, because we both thought the other one had the church phone today and it's got still charging on my desk at home. So if you're out there in Facebook Live land, you go ahead, leave some questions for us. We'll tackle those. We are dealing with remarriage. We're dealing with abuse at this point. So if they're related to that, great. But if you have something off topic, we've been covering those ones too.
Yeah, there certainly was a few different things that came up yesterday that wasn't on our radar. But, you know, that's what we're here for, a little bit of live interaction with the audience.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I thought of too from yesterday, because we talked about, we have done a lot of marriage counseling. Mike, you've been a pastor, what, almost 35 years now, something like that?
Something like that.
And we were doing counseling before that, okay? But at least that long with him being a pastor, we've done a lot of counseling, and a lot of the marriage counseling we do together. And I will tell you, when there is an abusive man, he won't admit it. And he does turn it around. And it's really hard for a counselor to be able to sort things out in what's really going on, because their manipulation is so good that they are able to pretty much fool the counselor. Now, those were in the early days. I think we got much better at spotting them. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we get to where if anybody ever counsels with us, we don't patronize anybody. We just get right to it. You know, we get right in. We'll ask the hard questions, not, oh, how's your day been? How's the way? We don't go there. We don't have the time for that. We just get right into, let's deal with it. And if you're willing to do something about it or not. And if they're not, then don't come back and waste my time a second time. Okay. Manipulation. Manipulation is one of those big signs of an abuser. They manipulate everything. You could have one person tell them, you know, tell you they are the salt of the earth. But a wife is at home being abused and belittled and possibly even hit. You know, I remember we did a counseling appointment one time, Mike, and I was addressing the guy and kind of nailing him on some things, because I'll be direct that way, you know. And he smacked that glass table. I thought for sure it was going to break on our legs, you know. And it was, I think I was hitting the nail on the head. And he didn't like that because he lost control. He thought he was able to fool us. But we were able to see through that one. I don't think they ever came back, did they?
No, I remember the situation.
They don't like to be, where it went from there.
Manipulators
don't like to be caught. When they are, you're not going to see them again. Now, Matt, that number is 208-377-3790. I'll go ahead and put it up on Facebook Live, too. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, I was jotting down some things as you're talking, because I believe that one of the problems with dealing with an abuser is he, and I'm going to say he because in most cases, it is the man who is a control freak. He's manipulating. And if you get into a counseling situation, he usually, if he's able to control this woman to the point where it's abuse, then sometimes he's even able to control the counseling situation.
Yes.
And what he'll do is he'll make it look like he's the victim. He'll make it look like he's being abused, or he'll go to that old famous, I did this because you did that. You know, it's like Adam
or,
saying, you know, it was the woman you gave me, Lord, you know.
Or flattery. They'll compliment you to win you over to their side. It's like, wow, your hair looks really pretty today. Mike, that's a really nice shirt on you. They will compliment you to try to win you over. So you're thinking, well, what a nice, considerate person. It must be this other person's fault. So, yeah, we've learned some signs, haven't we, to look for.
And here's a problem that we all have to deal with, self-deceit, okay?
Yes.
Because really, I mean, how many times, and I could tell you even in my own life, where I felt like I was right in the situation because I was blinded to how the other person felt. I've been in situations in ministry where there's groups of people feel this way and I feel that way and they feel, and I feel like they're in the wrong. And there's been several times over the years where the Lord has shown me, Mike, you think more highly of yourself than you ought. You are wrong here. You just don't see it. There's a danger when you're being deceived. You don't know you're being deceived. It's hard to repent when you think you're right. Okay. So that's part of the problem with an abuser, an abusive husband, an abusive job, boss on the job, and an abusive pastor. Really. And by the way, I've got this book at home. Boy, was it by Ken Blue, spiritual, dealing with spiritual abuse. And, you know, abuse is such a thing that you don't know you're an abuser. You just think, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I got no choice, and I have to do this because she did that. And, you know, you could become self-deceived. So there's so much more to talk about with this, and just be aware. And again, I'll tell you, yesterday I gave out a website called Safe Place Ministries. And it's just like that, no spaces, no caps, safeplaceministries.com. And there's some charts, there's literature, there's all kinds of things up there. If you feel like you're abused, but really you're not sure because you think maybe it's all your fault, maybe I'm just going crazy, maybe I make him that way, go to safeplaceministries.com and look up there's different links, there's different articles to read that'll really help you sort through some things. Now we do have a caller. We have Stacy from Boise. Are you there, Stacy?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for calling, Stacy. Do you have a question or a comment for us here?
Well, I have been listening for several, probably a couple of weeks now, and I've been listening to your program and how important you feel it is to have commitment to your marriage. I want you to know that I had a 50-year marriage that ended in an absolute train wreck. And the manipulation went for years and years. And people and friends would tell me to leave, and I didn't leave, and I didn't leave. Finally, I had the courage to leave, and I'm still not able to have interaction with my ex. And it's occasionally I'll get a text message, which I had to have a restraint against him because he had a very hefty insurance policy on my head.
Oh.
And people were fearing for my life.
Wow.
And you have a parishioner. His name is Bob, who actually knows all about this. And it's curious that I stayed in a marriage for 50 years because I believed so vehemently in the sanctity and the commitment of marriage.
Right.
And y'all need to know that sometimes it's between me and God, and God got me out of it.
Yeah. Well, Stacy, I know you got more to say, but let me just explain something. We strongly do believe in the commitment and the sanctity of marriage. That doesn't make abuse okay?
No.
We also believe in the safety, that marriage should be a safe place, and that's why we've been talking the way we have. So I want you to understand, I want our listeners to know, that we've never said, no matter what, don't leave your marriage, even if he pulls a gun. I mean, what you're describing, and of course we haven't got the whole picture, you were abused, and you needed to get out. So, I mean, how bad was it, Stacy? What kind of things happened that you would say, this was too much, I had to get out?
Just abuse of people around me, people, myself, being pushed up against the wall. I have employees that said, do not let him come in around you. So I had a restraining order so he couldn't even come to where I worked. And unfortunately, he was crazy. And you can't deal with craziness. But he's still crazy. He's still out there. And the courts support him in this. That's what's so tragic, is that I had to leave my lawyer, he hit my lawyer in his lawyer's office.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And we have a judge. Her name is Lori, and I'm not going to say her last name,
okay,
but
that's fine.
She was so enamored by his lawyer that nothing ever happened. I still have no settlement. I had it not been for my mother, I would be living under the bridge.
Mm. Well, Stacy, I'm so sorry. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, this is a very
sad...
And
your friend, Jeff, will know. He helped me. He walked me to the car some nights.
My friend Jeff?
Jeff Brown.
Oh, okay. Jeff, who we had in here on the program a couple weeks ago.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, see, you know, I mean, I don't want you to feel guilty or wronged or like we're condemning you, because when we support the sanctity of marriage, God supports the sanctity of marriage. It's just he
Absolutely.
Certainly doesn't support abuse, okay? So we've got to keep it in perspective. And I'm sorry. It seems like everything is turning against you here, and it's still not settled, huh?
It's not. It's not turning against me any longer. Frankly, I am so happy. Never been happier in my whole entire life,
yeah,
for real.
Yeah.
And I mean, I still live with threats. I don't know when he's going to drop over the edge, but the point is, I'm feeling at least, and people tell me that, you look fine, you look okay, and it's only because of the grace of God.
Right, so the divorce is final? I mean, you're divorced and it's a done deal?
I am divorced, but the property settlement will never end.
Oh, boy. Stacy, could we pray for you right now?
Yes.
All right. Father, we just lift up our sister. You know the story, Lord. We've just got a little thumbnail sketch of what's going on here. But we pray your mercy and your grace towards her. We pray for breakthroughs. As she's saying, some things will never be settled. Lord, I know that what man can't do, you can do.
Yes.
And so we pray, Father, that you would just have mercy on Stacy and make a breakthrough in such a way that she would just be blown away. Lord, she is confessing that she's happy. And Lord, I pray that you just teach her to rest in you, to trust in you, and show your mighty hand, Lord. Intervene here. Show your mighty outstretched hand. Bring forth justice and equity. And let this man who's been abusive be exposed for what he is,
yes,
as too many people have been enamored and fooled by him. I pray that somehow, and you know how to do it, only you know how to do it, blow his cover, reveal what he is. And at the same time, I pray you protect Stacy, that it wouldn't be from any harm coming to Stacy. So, Lord, put a hedge around her, hear her cry, and continue to keep her in the shadow of your wing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for calling, Stacy.
You're welcome. You know, the point is, he's a child of God, too. He needs healing, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is he so angry? Why is he so sick?
Yeah.
You know, he needs healing too.
Right.
And I don't spend 50 years living through, you know, hell and not have some sort of feelings toward the individual of pity and
course.
And so, you know, the best thing when you can't win, you just pray to God.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, you did mention Jeff Brown was aware of the situation, so
imagine
you're familiar with the ministry at Calvary Chapel Boise. They always carry these little booklets called Overcoming Bitterness. Have you got a hold of that one?
Oh, yes, and
okay.
I think I'm there.
Okay. I just want to make sure that, you know, you got to keep working on you, because you've got a lot of years of damage, you know. We're all broken in various degrees, but you get a lot of years of damage there. And I would recommend that you just make sure that you heal up and do what you can for yourself right now, you know.
Yep.
So.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much for letting me speak. I hope there's other women out there that don't stay in a really dreadful situation.
Right.
And expose themselves to harm.
Right. No, so, I agree with you.
Okay, great.
Thank you,
Stacy. Thank you.
And
bye-bye.
And folks, that's exactly what we're trying to talk about, is that the reason why we're recommending Safe Place Ministries is you need to, first of all, discern, is this truly abuse? And if it is, you need to do something about it. Don't stay in an abusive relationship. It's not acceptable. There's no reason why anybody should remain in an abusive relationship. Even if you're married in the sight of God, that doesn't mean I have to put up with abuse. Okay? So anyway, I think Linda's got something, and then we got a call.
That's what I was going to say is okay. You don't put up with it. There is no excuse for your husband to ever hit you, push you, shove you, you know, those things like we talked about, leaving a mark at all. Remember, we talked a couple days ago about before we got married, I told Mike, you ever hit me, I'm leaving you. I set my boundaries really quickly. And you know what? If you're in an abusive relationship, you have to think of your safety first. And one thing, Mike, we haven't touched on, if there's abuse to a child, if you see your children being overly disciplined, knocked around, anything like that, you protect those children.
Right.
Above everything, you protect those children. And one of the things that Mike and I talked about was earlier, should we bring this one up? But why not right now? Is if your children are being sexually abused within the home.
Right.
Yeah, that's grounds for divorce.
Now, I see we have Matt on the line, and he's only got a few minutes, but we will get back to this.
Oh,
we need
okay.
to, okay?
You got it. So we'll come back. What a place to leave a cliffhanger.
Yeah, no, I think we do need to address this, but I see there's a little parenthesis that Matt only has a few minutes. He's got to hang up. So, Matt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
Hi, Matt.
Thanks for your patience, brother.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
So what do you have for us, Matt? I know Matt, he's been in ministry many years. You probably got some stories yourself.
Oh, I got so many of them, but I got one I kind of wanted to share. Wasn't Julie and I, because you know our marriage, we're doing really good, but a lot of times we end up, since we're in ministry, ministering to couples that aren't doing so good.
Yes. Right.
And so she happened to be kind of, this was back before really had cell phones and stuff, but she was ministering to this gal, and I really had no clue that this couple, especially the husband, was really thumping on her.
Mm.
Well, Julie was gone that day. The phone rang. The gal called, and I really didn't know what was going on. She was kind of crying. Well, apparently, he had really laid into her, and she needed help right then and there. And I really didn't know. I said, well, we could call, but she'll be back and she'll call you or something like that. So my question, I guess, is how much should our spouses let us know? Because I know a lot of stuff is confidential. But, I mean, in this case, it was life and death. I mean,
right.
I could have just...
No, absolutely. That's an important thing. I really believe in confidentiality, but I think there are certain times when we need to go, you know what, my wife or my husband needs to be aware of this. The only time I've actually kept things from my wife, sometimes people will actually call and say, could I tell you? And I don't want you to tell anybody else. I'll usually tell them, well, except for my wife, I don't keep any secrets from my wife. I pretty much let people know you can't hold me to that. You can't say, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell anybody because there is somebody who I don't keep any secrets from. It's my wife. But the only exception to that is if there's been times I'll know somebody who has had real personal issues and it would shed a bad light on them and it would change my wife's attitude towards them. I don't want to put garbage in her head, you know. But here's a situation, a couple that she's ministering to. Now we're rewinding, though, because Julie was ministering to this gal and you had no idea that there was abuse going on. That's when the left hand needs to know what the right hand's doing so
yes,
that you could talk
definitely.
As a... That's another reason why me and Linda love to do counseling together, because there's times, she'll say, you need to talk to the husband, or I'll say, you need to talk to the wife, because I'm not going to minister to the women. Only to one certain degree I will, but after that I'll say, honey, you need to give her a call. She needs to hear from you. That's why we really believe in couples doing ministry together, because that wouldn't have happened if you guys were in full communication and both of you working with this couple. You know, confidentiality only goes so far, you know. And there's times we need to ask permission from the person we're counseling. There's been times I'll be counseling somebody and another pastor is counseling them as a couple, but I'm doing one-on-one. And I'll say, because I think it's wise, I'll say, do you mind if me and Pastor so-and-so communicate to do the best we can to help you guys do this? It's always good to just kind of get open, get permission, because we're here to help you, and we don't want secrets, because the mind games and the secret stuff keeps you from moving forward. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Okay. Well, that was, I mean, like I said, I got 1,000 stories, but that was one I wanted.
Yeah, it's important. Well, thanks, Matt. I hope to see you again soon sometime. Love you, brother.
Okay, love you guys, too. Uh-huh. See ya.
Bye. You know, I know Linda has a topic we want to talk about, how do you deal with child abuse, but Matt's story reminded me, I had a brother come up to me after church last night, and he said that he was dealing with a brother in the church he came from in California, where he found out that this brother, who's a friend of his, is having an emotional affair with another person's wife, and they were they're kind of starting to kiss and stuff. And it's like, well, with confidentiality, what should I do? And it's like, wait a second, you know, there comes a point where you tell somebody openly, I'm going to give you so many days or a week. I wouldn't go further than a week or a day, whatever you think is appropriate, so that he has no excuse, and say, you tell, I want you to confess this to her husband within a week, because if you don't, I will. And I'm going to call him in a week to find out if you actually did talk to him. And he's either going to hear it from me or he's going to hear it from you. I'm giving you a week, brother. And because there's no way we should stand by and see sin and adultery or abuse or anything like this going on, and we just keep silent about it. We need to hold people's feet to the fire, so to speak, when it comes to infidelity, sin in the church. We need to say, you need to repent of this, and you need to confess it to her husband or confess it to the appropriate person. And I'm giving you this amount of time, because I'm going to call them in at the end of that time and make sure you did. You know, I think there's times we need to just be able to do that. As a matter of fact, as Linda wants to talk next about child abuse, there's been times people would call in or come into the church when I was even on staff at Boise, and maybe a wife sees something going on between her husband and one of the kids. And I'll tell her, I said, look, I'm obligated to report this. I'll tell you what, though, you need to report it. And if you don't report it, I'm going to call in. I'm going to call them tomorrow, but I'm going to give you the rest of the day that you need to. I mean, I think we need to let people know the right thing to do is report it. The right thing to do is, when the right thing to do is to call the police, when the right thing to do is to confess sin to someone else's spouse who you've been cheating with, whatever. I mean, fill in the blank. I think in ministry, part of our job is to tell people, here's the right thing to do, and I'm asking you to do it, and I'm giving you this amount of time to do it, and if you don't, I'm going to do it, you know? So anyway, I've done that from cases from infidelity to cases of child abuse. Now, if there's ongoing child abuse, you certainly don't want to say, I'm going to give you a week. You know, I mean,
you give them till the end of the day.
Yeah, you don't want that child abused anymore. Okay. Not another instance of that. So you want to act quickly, but I think it's always good that the family member gets involved, and the person who's the eyewitness gets involved, and you give them the child abuse hotline number, and they call. Matter of fact, I've done that where in my office, I say, let's call them right now, and I'll let you explain it. And we'll call the child abuse hotline, and I'll hand the phone to the wife who's witnessed some abuse in the home. I'll say, now you tell them, and I'll be here for you. I'll help you through this, okay? I think that's the ultimate best way, because I don't want to just be, I'm calling and I'm telling. You know, I think there's times when you see abuse in your home. You know, there's an old saying going around now, because of terrorism and because of all the things that are going on, school shootings, if you see something, say something. And so that's a really good rule of thumb. Now, I hear the music. That means we have a station break. We'll be back in just 1 minute, so give us some time for the station break, and hopefully we'll get some more calls. We're looking forward to hearing from some of you.
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. To access the Facebook Live feed, be sure to send a friend request to Linda Bennett Sasso. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
Okay, folks, just a little a word about that Facebook thing. yeah, because we got to change that, by the way. We don't want people asking for friend requests. We are posting our Facebook Live feed publicly on both of our Facebook pages. So if you just go to Mike Sasso, my Facebook page, or Linda Bennett Sasso, go to our Facebook page, you could watch it without asking for a friend request. You just go there and you could watch because we're posting them. It gives you a choice, post as friends to friends only or public. So we posted public, and you should be able to watch that. We just don't think it's good for us to just accept every stranger who asks for it to be our friend on Facebook.
I was being so careful that if I didn't know somebody, I wouldn't accept, the friend request, just because it can get weird up there, So, well, what we were talking about before with abuse. Now, we want to make it really clear. You do not stay in the home with abuse of any kind, okay? Don't sit there and question, well, if I'm a Christian woman, I'm supposed to do this. And, no, you don't. There is no excuse. And I want to make sure that that is very clear, that that is our stance. There is never any reason for your spouse to hit you. And that could go both ways, but most of the time it would be the man hitting the woman. Okay, so we don't put up with that whatsoever. We do not condone that. There's ways around it. But you get out for your safety. Then you work on all this divorce and remarriage stuff afterwards. But the first thing is consider your own safety. Now, we have another caller. We have Mary. Are you there, Mary?
I am.
Hi, do you have a question, comment, story?
I have a question.
Okay.
I don't know if it's related to abuse. Well, it's kind of. My husband is an alcoholic, but he is not abusive in that he doesn't hit me. He doesn't lose his temper. He's very ashamed of his drinking. He tries to hide it from me. And I've asked him many, many times to quit. He almost died this summer. He was in the hospital because of his drinking. But he just cannot stop drinking.
Has he gone into a rehab?
No.
So what is your question? Is he trying? Does he want help? How can we help you?
I'm just wondering what I can do, what I should do.
Right. Are you guys a member of a church?
Yes.
Okay. Does the church have any kind of addiction ministry?
No.
Okay. It's a small church then, because usually these bigger churches. Because you might want to... if there's any good, healthy churches near your home where they have an addiction ministry, pop in and just try to get to know the people teaching, the people involved, because usually there's support groups, and there's usually ministries, self-help groups for the wives of the addicts.
Yeah.
And you could get all kinds of good advice from them, because you could certainly do the wrong thing, Mary. You know, it's really easy to make the matters worse. And is he a believer? Is he a Christian?
He says he is. Yeah, I think he is.
Well, let me tell you, even as I'm asking that, I feel stupid. It's like, okay, I know somebody who's a serial killer. Let me think of something really crazy. Are they a Christian? Well, I mean, usually it's hard to really give with confidence. And I put you in a spot there. I'm sorry, Mary. But it's hard to answer with confidence a question like that because the fruit of his life is saying no, right? So that's a tough thing. You could say you're a Christian, but it doesn't mean much unless you're living like a Christian, so that's tough. But are you a follower of Christ?
I am.
Okay. So now you're plugged into church. Is he going to church too?
Yes.
Hmm.
We go every week.
Okay. Have you ever spoken to your pastor about the situation?
I have.
And is he, I would think he'd give you some advice, give you any particular direction?
No. Well, yes, kind of. My husband has chronic pancreatitis, and his drinking is most of it is self-medicating.
Yeah. Well, that the alcohol is not going to help that. I tell
you, that's going to hurt it.
Absolutely not. But that's what my husband thinks.
Yeah.
No, well, that's an excuse.
Well, does the husband know that the pastor knows his situation?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, I'm surprised because sometimes they blow up and that causes more problem. But because really what we need is people who are, matter of fact, one of the things I wanted to go next as we move through this topic is being surrounded by a multitude of counselors. It's really a healthy thing to have wise people around you to ask advice from. And I would hope that if you have a pastor who teaches the word and lives by the word, he'd want to give you some godly advice. Now, there's two extremes I see on this. Some people will just say, just love them. Just be a 1 Peter 3 wife and just love them that you win him over. And that there's a certain amount of truth to that. But you don't want to watch him slowly die. You don't want to just stand by and watch him kill himself, drink himself to death, you know, because this is not going to be good if he's got medical problems and he's trying to cover it up and self-medicate with alcohol. He's going to make the matters worse. He's not going to get better. So perhaps if your pastor didn't have a whole lot of positive direction for you, you might want to just look up some of the larger churches near your home, a church that you could trust that you know has an addiction ministry. And find out when it is and pop in and just ask a few questions. Maybe you'll meet some other women who could say, oh, honey, you know, come and meet with us and we'll pray with you and we'll stand by. You need a support group of godly women around you to help you with this. And, you know, there's not a, to be honest with you, Mary, there's not just a simple little piece of advice that anybody could give you to fix this. Your husband's going to want to help. He needs to want help. You can't just go, how do I fix my husband? He's an alcoholic. You know what I mean? But it goes a long way to be surrounded by other godly women who will stand by you, pray with you, encourage you, give you a place to go when you need to just get away if he ever did become dangerous. But fortunately, we're not seeing signs of abuse right now. You're just seeing him slowly kill himself. How long has he been an alcoholic?
Pretty much all of his adult life.
Wow.
He's
51
now.
Wow.
Okay, well, Bobby put up here, there's Celebrate Recovery in the area. So you may want to look that up and see. But have you had an honest conversation with him about your concerns with his drinking and that he is killing himself with it?
Absolutely.
And does he care?
Yeah, he seems to care.
Okay. Because it's really hard.
I mean,
Well, the thing is, Mary, you know, he can't help himself. I mean, it comes a point with some addictions.
Well, somewhere you got to go to the store. You got to buy it. You got to do those things.
But you know what? He's got this pattern. He's a lifelong alcoholic all his adult life. And not until he's willing to go to other people to make himself accountable to and say, you know what? I need help. I've tried to stop myself and I can't. You know, there's certain things I've helped people with who they've said, you know what, I've got this little addiction and I want to stop, and I've tried to help them get in plugged into a other group or other accountability, and they say, no, I'm just going to stop. And they do. I've seen it happen. It's possible.
When you finally had enough.
It's possible. It depends on the severity of the addiction. The one brother I'm thinking of right now had a porn addiction, and I wanted to plug him into an accountability group because, you know, I'm just confessing it to you, and I'm going to stop it. And I saw him years later, checked up on him, and he goes, nope, I'm clean. And so it's possible. But if he's had a lifelong addiction to alcohol, this is hardcore. And he needs to be willing to go to a group of men, and particularly in an addiction ministry. If your church doesn't have an addiction ministry, it's funny because right now our church does not have a specific addiction ministry. And my philosophy has always been get plugged in with the other men, go to a men's group, and the men will help you through it. But there does come to a point if you're a lifelong addict, maybe you need the next step of help. You know, some things will help some people, but no one thing will help everybody. And so he needs to find a group that he could be accountable to. You've never talked about maybe going to AA or Celebrate Recovery or any of the addiction ministries for help?
Yeah, we've talked about it. There's an AA meeting that meets like a block away from our house.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. There's a lot of controversy. I said AA, but there's a lot of controversy on that. Let me just give you.
But it might be better than
nothing.
But
let me give you a title, a name of a ministry that many churches in the area use, and it's called Pure Word Ministry. Okay, what city do you live in?
Well, I actually live in Vail, Oregon.
Oh wow! Okay. So I'm not sure where there's a Pure Word Ministry.
I can tell you
some of the local ones, but you might want to Google Pure Word Ministries. A friend of mine, Pure Word, like what's the simple solution? It's just purely the Word of God, Pure Word.
Okay.
You know, rather than some people want the pure dope. Well, some people need the pure word, right? I mean, I tell you that I guess that's where it came from, is where people were looking for strong stuff, but what they need is the strong word of God. Anyway, I know the brother who started and founded this this addiction ministry, and then many of the local Calvary chapels have picked it up. I'm just not sure how far it's gone, that maybe it would be in Vail, Oregon. Find something. If you can't find a Pure Word Ministry near your home, find something. Let's see. Somebody is letting us know that Celebrate Recovery is at Christian Life. They pulled the board away. Christian Life Fellowship in Ontario. Oh, did you look that up? Is that near where she's at? Oh, Christian Life Fellowship in Ontario has a Celebrate Life, Celebrate Recovery. So you might want to look at that. But you got to start somewhere. And you know what? I would even say, honey, I love you. I don't want to watch you drink yourself to death. How about we both go together? Now, you could do the footwork, call ahead, find out when they meet and how early to get there and get directions. You might want to do all the footwork, make it easy, and say, honey, I love you. I care about you. And I really fear for your life because this has been a long-standing issue. And I've got this ministry that we could go to. It's tomorrow night. Give them enough time. It's tomorrow night or it's 2 days from now. Don't tell them that day. Jump in the car. I got a surprise for you. You know, I mean, give them some time. Let them know. I know you love me too, but I'm asking if you love me, come with me and we'll go to this together. It's not a bad idea to do that together. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well.
All right. I'm all right.
Thank you for your call, Mary.
All right. Okay. Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a couple questions coming in. When you are abused, how do we forgive? Reconciliation is difficult, but how do we forgive after abuse? How do you set up good boundaries? That's one question came in. An answer came in. Leslie Vernick has written books about the emotionally destructive marriage and has great resources. So we're getting some things answered there back and forth. But this takes us back to the topic I didn't finish that I want to finish.
Okay, but let me make sure we answer that, though. The booklet, Overcoming Bitterness, is also, you could find it online. You could download it, and it's a free download, Overcoming Bitterness. And that'll help you as well. And let me just let you know, forgiving an abuser doesn't mean you go back into the an unsafe place.
Yes.
You could forgive somebody for your own sake so that you could move forward, but forgiving an abuser doesn't mean you're going to go back to being abused again. That's not the same thing. Okay. Yeah. Just for clarity.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing that we touched on is when there's abuse to the children in the home.
Right.
And I do want to go back there because I want to make sure we make this very clear. Mamas, if you can't protect yourself, at least protect your children.
Hmm.
Protect your children, okay? Now, I know Sandra put up there that, you know, we should deal things with the church. We don't always have to go to the police, but sometimes with abuse, you do. Sometimes people don't learn unless they pay the consequences for it. And yeah, that's a hard decision to make with somebody you love. But do you love your children too? Okay. So you need to watch out. If there's an abuser in the home that's abusing you, very likely they would lash out at the children too. Okay. Maybe not when they're little, maybe when they get a little bigger. You don't know, but you've got to watch for that. So if you can't protect yourself, protect your kids. And then the other question Mike and I had talked about is when a child is being sexually abused in the home. And you know what? That to me is a no-brainer. That is, you call the police. That is a police matter. As far as divorce, yeah. I don't see, if someone has sexually abused your children, how you could ever let them back in the home with that one. This is Linda's opinion, and I'm putting it straight out there to you, because how can you protect your kids? How can you let someone come back in that abused? And sometimes it's not your spouse. Let's just talk about, you know, the whole thing. Most of the time with an abuse of a child, it's somebody they know. It's a family member, it's a friend of the family, whatever. It doesn't matter. If they did something, you call the police. You mm-hmm. protect your kids. And then you do not put that person back in their lives. I've had friends who have been abused by their father. And now as adults grown up, they're trying to continue that relationship with them. But it's strained and it's hard. And they really don't want to, but they feel like they should forgive and this is their father and they should let him back in their life. Not necessarily. If you don't see absolute 100% fruit of repentance, you don't have to go back there. That's my opinion.
Okay.
And we tell you, you know, when, okay, this is what the Bible says, and we tell you when we're giving opinions. That's my opinion because it's a very strong topic that people should take extremely seriously. And one more time, if you can't protect yourself, at least protect your kids.
Well, I should say you should protect yourself, but let me tell you something.
Yeah, but some women can't.
It's been a while since I used to have all these numbers memorized, but it's been a while since I've looked this up. If you know of somebody who needs help and counsel about child abuse, or perhaps you think maybe... Is what I'm seeing in my home or in my neighbor's home child abuse and you're not sure, you can go to the webpage childhelp.org, childhelp.org, and it'll give you further information. If you feel that you're witnessing child abuse and you don't know what to do about it, this organization, it's the National Child Abuse Hotline. They will actually walk you through it and how to determine. And it's actually a 1-800 number for a child. It's called number four, a child. Or the number is 1-800-422-4453. This is the Child Abuse Hotline, which actually it's not just reporting. It's people who will help you through this and give you advice, okay? It's an 800 number, 1-800-422-4435. Boy, I'm really glad I got figured out a way to get my internet up because I had to just look up. So anyway, folks, that is really paramount that you don't ignore or minimize child abuse. We need to protect
that
our children.
That would be a form of abuse.
Then
to not do something if you knew something was going
in the
on.
Abuse.
Yes.
Have you, as a matter of fact, I've known of families where the father was inappropriately touching the children And the children tried to talk to the mother, and the mother didn't do anything about it or just made excuses. When that child grows up, that child, that adult will have issues not only with the father, but with his or her mother.
Yes.
Because now you're both, you think you're getting off the hook? You are held responsible not only by your child, but by God himself. You will be held responsible for this. And
I think legally, too.
I was just going to say, and if it ever went to court that the child pressed charges for child abuse and it came out that you were aware that your husband was abusing your children, you can have charges pressed against you, too. You'd be complicit in the crime. So this is serious. Now, by the way, I hope it doesn't take that to get you to do something about it. I hope it's just because you know it's morally wrong and you want to do the right thing in the eyes of God, do the right thing, you know. Yes. But I want to let you know there's all kinds of repercussion from you standing before God to your kids will hate you to law. You could actually end up in jail over this sort of thing. Anyway, we've just been talking the last couple of minutes about child abuse and what to do about it. And you could go to the webpage childhelp.org and get more information on that if you want to do something, if you see something that you need to report or do something about.
How about the end of Bobby's question here that you put up? How do you set up good boundaries?
Okay.
Let's say there was abuse. It sounds like reconciliation was there and trying to, you know, get things going again. Second chance thing. How do you set up the boundaries?
We need to change gears because I just talked about child abuse. You're talking about setting up boundaries with an abusive husband?
Yes, that's what it says.
Okay. I got to shift gears because I'm in a whole nother mindset here.
I do that often.
I think, you know what? I think Linda did a really good job of setting up boundaries before we got married. She said to me, when we get married, if you ever hit me, I will leave you. She made it real clear. Though I gave her no indication that I was an abuser or I'd ever hit her, I never did hit her. And yet she told me, you ever hit me, I'll leave you. I think that setting up boundaries means here's the lines that that are uncrossable. Okay. Here's what I consider unacceptable. I forgive you. I think it's always good to go through counseling too, because you go through counseling to somebody who knows how to deal with a particular kind of abuse that you dealt with. That counselor will help you set up boundaries as a couple and will help walk you through it. But I think you just have to say, this is what I will never accept. Here's where I draw the line. This is unacceptable.
I think one thing, it is determined on what kind of abuse there was. If you were actually hit, hey, that has to be a line. If it was just shook, arms grabbed, bruises left on the arms, I think it needs to be established. You will not touch me that way. If it is verbal abuse, getting in your face, cussing you out, putting you down, demeaning you, you know, then it has to be said. You don't do that. The moment you do that, it's over. If you're able to forgive, and they'll say, oh, but if you forgive, then, you know, then that's manipulation. They obviously need those kind of rules set on them. But I think it should be very much directed at the type of abuse that there was. That is exactly what you will not put up with, nor any of these other things that could fit into that category. Okay. So if you're going to, may sound a little weird, but if you're going to get back with someone and give it a second try after abuse, I would actually write it out and date it and have them sign it. I will not do this. I will not do that. I will not do this. When we're talking, you know, I will not sit there screaming in your face and tell you you're ugly and fat and all this stuff. If you have to write those out.
You know what? I would say, just like we did with our kids, if you do this, here's the consequences for it. So if you yell at me, you raise your voice, then I or you will have to leave the house. You make a consequence for the action.
Yes. But put it in writing and have them sign it. They are signing something. You want to really get good with it, take it down to a notary and have it witnessed, okay? Something about putting it in writing, signing your name to it, makes a commitment there. And it's a piece of paper that you can pull out and if things start to look shady at all, you can just pull that paper out and set it on their pillow. Tell them, maybe you need to look at this again, because I'm about to do the consequence, which is walk out, because we will not go back to where we were before. Mm. So that makes sense, hopefully. But I think boundaries would be different with each person. Boundaries need to be biblical. You know, yeah. Boundaries need to address what the exact problem was. You could have somebody talk sweet as sugar to you, but they push you and push you into walls and you're, you know, breaking things or getting bruised. Well, you won't have the verbal part in there. They already talk sweet as sugar. It's their hands you have to watch out for. So hopefully that helps somebody out there.
Well, I just go back to when we had kids in the home, and we had some very very clear rules. When the kids started pushing the limit, we'd say, if you do this, that's going to, even to the point where we said, if you ever do this, you're going to be out of the house. I mean, we had some very clear rules for the kids. And I think that it's important to have rules, clear rules and clear consequences, and talk it out and then maybe write it out and just say, here it is. I want you to understand that if you ever do this, then this will happen. Maybe if you ever raise your hand to me again, I will call the police. Okay. How about that? Simple enough. And, no, what did I just say? I think another, I did this with a kid. Sometimes it's a little demeaning with you when you do it with a spouse, but, it's important. Even when we've done a lot of counseling, we used to say, okay, stop. What did he just say? Or what did she just say? Well, she said she's going to call the police. No, she said, if you hit her again, she will call the police. Do you understand that? Well, no. What did she say? And I'd make him repeat it. So sometimes that's what you have to do. If you do this, I will do that. Anyway, I hear the music. I hope we've covered our territory properly. But that's all we have time for today. And we'll pick up summer around here tomorrow. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to